debated and debated on what I would preach, and the Lord laid this on my heart. I appreciate Brother Brent's message. Boy, that was tremendous. And there is no greater subject in the Bible than the subject of the Son of God, our precious Savior, who died for us so we could have life. And I'm going to read about the occasion that... did I get it on or did I turn it off? It says it's very tall. I'm on now? All right. It's best to be on. I like that old song, "Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down." So I thank you, son. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 1. I'm going to read down through verse number 5. And if you would, you've been seated a while, stand with me as we read these words, and we'll have a word of prayer after the reading, and you can be seated. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now, she tried to translate the Word of God right there. And that's when we get in trouble. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." He knew how to quote it better than she did. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall not be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." I just want to preach a little thought this afternoon on this. Satan deals in false hope. Satan deals in false hope. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father, I thank you this afternoon for the privilege to be here at the Victory Baptist Church. This great pastor and these wonderful people. We love these folks and we appreciate this church. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them here on the side of U.S. 40 as they labor for the cause of Christ. And many souls would be saved and hearts would be changed. Now Lord, it comes our lot this afternoon to stand for you. And Lord, I cannot stand here by myself. I need your touch and I need the anointing upon my life and upon my heart. And I pray that you would help me, Lord. I want to do you right, and I want to be faithful to you and your word. Lord, we pray that we can be a blessing and a help to somebody. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. My heart breaks for the masses of people that are following their own ways, their own thinking. And the Bible does say there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now the devil, the Bible we find out in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, that the devil has blinded the minds of those that are unsaved. He won't let them hear the gospel, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them, and they would be saved. God created man in His image and in His likeness, and we were created to live for Him. We weren't created for sin. And it's very evident when you see someone that has given their lives to alcohol, drugs, all kinds of horrible sins, it takes a toll on their bodies. I think some of the greatest things that you can look at around as you look at saints of God and folks that have lived for Christ their whole lives, they don't age the same as those that have lived a life in sin. Their countenance is different. Their bodies are more vibrant, and you can see the toil that it takes upon people when they have lived a life of ungodliness. And God placed man over His creation. He gave Adam and Eve dominion over the whole earth. And He had a position, and all of creation was for man to enjoy except for one tree, one thing. In the midst of the garden, the earth brought forth all the food that they would ever need. There was no sickness, no germs. There was no weeds to hinder the growth of good vegetation. All was great and wonderful, and God's enemy could not stand the fact that he had created someone in his likeness, and so he decided to take an attack upon the very first family. And so I believe he probably scoped it out first and realized that Eve was probably the weaker vessel. And we find that out in the New Testament, that she was the weaker vessel. And Adam, evidently trying to convince his wife that she should never go near this tree, even went so far as to tell her, don't even touch it. God didn't say not to touch it. He said, don't eat of it. So we find here the story. Now, all of us know the story, but I want to look at this today, and I want to say there is some things in here that the devil still uses today. Satan still uses the same formula. He still uses the same tactics, and it's always the same. He has not changed. It's worked the first time, and it's worked ever since. And so he has not changed his tactics. First of all, I want you to notice in verse number 5, he promises enlightenment. Notice verse number 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. First of all, I want to ask you a question. This is a very serious question. How do you convince someone that has seen everything that they can't see? I personally believe that Adam and Eve had fellowship with God. I don't think there was anything to hinder them from seeing God. Now, we don't have that in the Scriptures, but we know that they were created in His likeness. We know that they fellowshiped. We know that they knew that they heard God coming in the cool of the day. They recognized who He was, so it's obvious they knew Him. And I believe they could probably see Him. Now, I know the Scripture says no man has seen God at any time and lived, but we've not seen Him in our fallen nature. But how do you convince someone that has seen all the beauty of God that they can't see? He says, your eyes are going to be opened. He promises them enlightenment. Look what he says. He says, for God doth know. As if God is keeping some information from them. God is holding you back. God knows that you can't see real good. And God knows that the day you eat of this fruit, you're going to be able to see. Your eyes are going to be open. Now, I want you to understand the influence of sight. In Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 51, the Bible says, mine eye affecteth my heart because of all the daughters of my city. So the eye of man affects his heart. Was it not David that said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes? I tell you, it's dangerous to start looking at things that's not right, isn't it? And it was dangerous for her to start looking at the tree. We notice that she started, first of all, looking at the tree, and then it progressed from there. So what influence does our sight have? It has been said that the eye is the window of the soul. I can tell you today that anything you want to find, you can find it to look at. I mean, you can find it going down to Walmart. Amen. You can find it just about anywhere you want to go. But listen to me. Our eyes are our first problem. Amen. And now we have to wear these glasses. Boy, isn't that a blessing. I mean, I got to about age 30 and my eyes gave up on me. And now I have to wear bifocals, and they keep telling me I'm going to have to go to trifocals, and I'm going kicking and screaming. I don't like the idea. But our eyes wear out. He promised enlightenment, and what we get? Proverbs 15:30, the Bible says, the light of the eye rejoices the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. You see, we need the light of God in our eyes, not the light of the world. The influence of sight, and the importance of sight. Psalms 101, I quoted this a minute ago, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. You see, our eyesight is important. It's important because what we look at, we're going to emulate. And we better be careful what we look at. Amen. We got to be careful what we see. And I know I'm talking to the choir today. I'm talking to folks that know. But I'm just trying to tell you, the devil, Satan deals in false hope. He gave her a hope of greater sight, and what happened was lesser sight. the improvement of sight. Psalms 19:8, the Bible says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. So if you want your eyes improved, you want your eyesight improved, look at the Word of God. Let the Word, the commandment of the Lord, enlighten your eyes. Did not Psalms 119 say, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need the Word of God. We need Him. We need God. We need His Word. He promises enlightenment. Then secondly, He promises empowerment. Look at verse number 5 again. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, and you skip down there a few words, you shall be as gods. Now the word gods here is the same word that is used to describe one of the names of God, Elohim, pronounced Elohim. And it means to, in fact, up to this point in Genesis, Elohim is the word for God. And so what Satan is really doing is he said, you're going to be just like God. Isn't that not to steal the tactic that he uses? He wants to empower people. He wants to make them think that they're going to have more power. He said, you're going to be equal with God. Is that not what happened in Isaiah 14:14? I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Isn't that what Satan tried to do? He already tried it and failed. What do you think man was going to do? He knew that he was dealing in false hope. The devil knew he was dealing in false hope. Then the thought of being elevated to God. Now, you know, there's denominations and there are cults really that teach that you can be elevated to the status of God. You know that there's basically two religions in the world. Out of all of them, you can lump up, there's two religions. Those that do. And then the done. We're part of the done religion. What must I do to be saved? It's done. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt... Oh, there's got to be more to it. Should we be baptized? No. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, what do you mean not be baptized? Aren't you supposed to be baptized to be saved? I've asked, I don't know how many people, are you saved? They'll say, I've been baptized. I said, nice if you've been baptized. I ask you if you've been saved by the grace of God. Well, I've been baptized. I don't care about that. Baptism doesn't save us. Amen. Baptism is important, but it doesn't save us. I'm thankful for the fact it's identifying myself with Christ and His church. But salvation is by grace through faith. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so Satan says, I'm going to elevate you to God. If you'll just do what I say. Now, the amazing fact here is, he done the same thing to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, he takes him up into an exceeding high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the earth, you remember that, and he says, I'll give all of them to you if you'll just bow down to me. If you'll just worship me, I'll give all... Well, he's telling him, I'll elevate you to God. He was already God. How are you going to tell somebody it's already God? He's already there. Listen, the devil always deals in false hope. Then he said, you're going to be esteemed as God. You're going to be as gods. Acts chapter 12, verse 21 to 23, we find a place here. It says, upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, crying, it is the voice of a God and not of man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him back because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. You see, God will not share his glory with anyone. So we're not going to be equal with God. We're God's sons and daughters. We're his children. I'm satisfied to be his son. I'm satisfied with the fact that he's Lord of all. I'm happy with that. I'm glad. I can say with Brother Artie, I'm a bond slave to the Lord. I'm glad I'm a prisoner of love. He took me. He takes care of me every day of my life. And I'm so thankful that he does. He promises empowerment. The devil always promises things falsely. He can't give that. There's nowhere in the Bible that you can find that the devil can do what he promised Eve here. And I'll just say this in passing. I'm going to get off of it real quick. This crowd that says that, it's the devil that does all this stuff. I got news for him. He's got less power now than he had before. That cancer in your body is a demon. We're going to pray the demons out of your body. Oh, no. That's not... You see, the devil, he's a defeated foe. This is Brother Brent has already mentioned. He's defeated. He's a loser. I like to tell him that every now and then. I tell you what, you better not ever do, though. I stood up one day. I'd been praying hard, and I stood up, and I got real bold. You know how you get when you get real bold? I said, come on, devil, I'll fight you right here where I stand. No, don't do that. No. You're picking on somebody you can't handle. I mean, we need God. Don't ever tell the devil that you're ready for him. No. We need the Lord. I'm satisfied just let the devil bother somebody else. Sometimes I feel like he's tied up down at my place. Amen. But I'm glad he is a loser. He's defeated and he has no power. Then in verse number 5 again, he promises enjoyment. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, you're going to know good and evil. Enjoyment. The pleasures of sin. You know, let's be honest about things. There is pleasure in sin for a while, for a season, but it doesn't last. It's a manufactured joy. It's a manufactured pleasure. It's not real. The best pleasure you can ever have is being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be called a son of God, to be a child of God. That's the best pleasure there is. But the devil promises you're going to know good and evil. In other words, they didn't know. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them in innocency. That tree was called the knowledge of good and evil. The devil said, you're going to know good and evil. How many of you would rather not know ever what evil was? I don't think that was a good deal. I really think they got took on it, don't you? Because I'm telling you, there's sins of my past that keeps coming back through my head. I know God has forgiven me, but I'm telling you, there's things that will come up on you and bother you and aggravate you and cause you problems in your head. The mind is a terrible place for the devil to work. And I'm telling you that he was promising her all kinds of enjoyment. He's making it look like she was going to know something she wanted to know. And my friend, I'm glad that new body, we're not going to know nothing like sin, no evil. I'm looking forward to the day that I lay off this body. I get to go home and I get that glorified body and I don't have to think about sin. I don't have to remember it. I don't have to contemplate on it. Thank God I'm going to have a mind like Christ when I get there. Amen. He promises enjoyment. And we see Moses choosing the right path in Hebrews chapter number 11. And it says that he esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Well, I tell you what, the treasures of this world does not compare to the pleasure that we have and the enjoyment we have in serving Christ. I'll tell you, all the people of the world that going up and down the highways and living for Friday night and Saturday night and living it up and blowing their money and all of those kind of things, they don't know what they're missing when they pass by a church building where the gospel is preached. I'm having the time of my life. I'm having more fun than I know what to do with. Serving the Lord. Well, we see the pleasure of sin, but we also see the power of sin. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, the Bible says, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. I tell you, the power of sin is bigger than we can handle. Now listen, fellas, I know we're preachers, and I'm not talking to everybody, I'm talking to those that are preachers. We're men of God, but we're not exempt from sin. Don't ever get to thinking that you're above that, because you can fall to it shortly. I mean, we ought to think clearly about this thing, folks. We're not in that glorified body yet. We've still got this old Adamic mind in our cranium that goes astray from time to time. That's a battlefield where devil's continually fighting, and he wants to hold over us the power of sin. I'm glad God knows how to break the power of sin in our lives. I have a gentleman in our church that his name's Ken Love, and he was homeless on the streets of Indianapolis for a number of years, a drug addict, an alcoholic. And he said, I've been to every program there is. I've been to them, the 12 steps. I've been to all of them. He said, and those things don't work. He said, I knew how to talk the language. I knew how to get around all the problems, you know. And he said, I even knew how to handle the sponsors and fool them. But he said, the day I got saved is the day that God broke those bands of drug addiction and alcohol. He said, what we're trying to do is we're trying to doctor sickness when it's a problem of the heart. I think he's right, amen. It's not a disease, it's a sin. It needs to be dealt with that way. I'll tell you what would fix I'm not going to try to get too political, but what would fix our in-church problems in our day is quit trying to doctor things that God can take care of if people get saved. Well, somebody says, well, he's sick. He can't stay away from the bottle. No, he needs to be saved. Amen. We see the power of sin, but the product of sin, for the wages of sin is death. I'm glad that verse doesn't end there, though. I'm glad there's a but. I'm glad God butts in. He said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. James 1, verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived and bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Sin is not enjoyment. Sin is not enjoyment. Then the last thing, and I'll be through and somebody else can come. He promises eternity. Now look at it, verse number 4. He says, ye shall not surely die. He promises eternity. He said, God knows that you're not going to die. Here's what I believe. I believe when he got her to take that fruit and touch it, and it didn't hurt her, she probably got in her mind thinking, wonder what else he lied to me about. It's a dangerous thing to add to or take away from the Word of God. It says that twice, once in the Old Testament, once in the New Testament. We better be careful how we handle the Word of God. We don't handle it deceitfully, but we lay line upon line and precept upon precept. We say, yea, yea, and nay, nay. Listen, Adam had told her, don't even touch it, or you're going to die. When she touched it, it didn't hurt. Nothing happened. She decided to take a bite. You know what the devil's really telling her, what Satan's really telling her? He says, there's not going to be a judgment. You're not going to face God with this thing. Is that not what he's saying? He is saying to her, don't worry about it. God's going to, he's going to, he, and we have preached God that he's such a lovey-dovey God. We've almost got him to the place where he's as limp-wristed as some of these effeminate people. That he has no backbone. He has no righteousness at all. Listen, we've forgotten in these days that his main attribute is his holiness. He's a holy God. And when the soul sins, it shall die. Amen. Death sentence is pronounced upon all sin. That's why Christ had to die, to save us from our sin. He says, there's not going to be no judgment. There's not going to be no justice. There's not going to be no judge. Isn't that awful? Did you know there's a multitude of people out there tonight that thinks that all it is this life? And when it's over with, that's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. There's nothing else. Listen, there's a judge. There's a judge, and he's a righteous judge. It's not going to be a jury. It's not going to be a panel of our peers, but it's going to be the Lord Almighty sitting on the throne. And his eyes are as a flame of fire, looking right into the very heart and intents of the heart. And his feet are like fine brass, signifying judgment. He is the judge. And boy, the devil deals in false hopes. I'm glad the Lord knows how to deal in good hopes. The Lord doesn't give you any false hopes. I'm glad for the Word of God that gives you the truth. Satan still uses these attributes here. He still uses this to attack us, to try to get us off track. How many times has he attacked you in the same manner, same way? Maybe not in the same instance, but it won't hurt nothing if you just do this little thing here. That's not going to be that bad. God, he'll overlook that. Is that not what he told Eve? You shall not surely die. He deals in false hopes. I have a hope. My hope is in the blood. My hope is not in how I'm doing. My hope is not in my performance. My hope is not even in my church or my pastor. My hope is not even in a denomination. My hope is in the blood. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm Baptist from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. There's not one part of me that is Pentecostal. You can always tell them, I'm not Pentecostal. You say, what's wrong with that? Look, I believe the book, and I believe like the Baptist. If I wasn't Baptist, I'd go where I did believe the way they did. Amen. I'm Baptist from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. But I'm saved before that. There come a day when mom and dad couldn't do nothing for me. There wasn't anybody. I'm glad I come from the family I came from. Thankful for my heritage. My dad is my hero. But I'm telling you, there come a day when the only one who could do anything for me was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad I came to Him, and He saved me by His grace. God bless you.